Faced with disappointment, where do you find hope? For Isaiah, hope was found in God's intervention. The prophet describes a dramatic display of God's power that causes mountains to quake, fire to ignite brush, water to boil, and nations to tremble at the presence of the Lord. Because that's how it happened for Israel in the past. Think about Moses and the burning bush, Pharaoh's army tossed into the sea, thunder, lightning, and the shaking of the mountain where Moses received the Ten Commandments. This is how it once happened, Isaiah remembers, summoning hope. Yet, the prophet says, yet. That word is a stopper. Yet is a signal to listen closely for what is coming next. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. This, too, is how intervention happens with God, not only in big, flashy, awesome displays of power, but also in the quiet, patient, reliable care of a father for his children, and in the handiwork of a potter who works with the clay until it becomes what the potter intends. So now we get to play with our Play-Doh. We're going to play with this image of potters and clay. There's something irresistible about playing with Play-Doh, I think. Go ahead and take that little tub from your bag and pop the lid and peel off the cellophane that's protecting the Play-Doh. How long has it been since you got to play with Play-Doh? Go ahead, smell it, poke it, take it out of the tub, roll it in your hands, make it into whatever you want to make it into, a ball or a rope, flatten it or stretch it, shape it and form it as your imagination leads. Keep on playing with your Play-Doh as I tell you this story about potters and clay, that it may speak to us about God's way of working with us. I want you to pretend for a moment that you are the potter described by Isaiah. Imagine yourself molding and shaping a lump of clay freehand, not on a potter's wheel, but just like you're doing now. Molding and shaping it into something that you're imagining. And then after painting a glaze on it, you put your finished piece in a very hot kiln to be fired. When it reaches the right temperature, you pull the piece back out with tongs and you throw it into a metal bin filled with shredded newspaper. What do you think will happen when hot pottery hits shredded newspaper? Whoosh! Combustibility. The newspaper will catch on fire in a spectacular display, and you'll let it burn for a few minutes, and then you'll clamp a lid on the bin to put the fire out. Finally, you'll lift out the piece your hands have made and dunk it into a bucket of cold water. When your piece is pulled out of the water and the soot is wiped off, you will admire your handiwork, amazed at what you couldn't have predicted or expected. Colors hidden in the elements of the clay have been brought out by the heat and fire. The piece has been transformed. With this image of a potter and clay, Isaiah is giving us hope in God, who is as intimately invested in our crises and disappointments as a potter is with the clay that is shaped by his own hands. So that God's intervention brings out of the fire love that prevails over hate, disappointment that yields to expectations finally fulfilled, destructiveness curbed, evil overcome, and out of the fire, all of people and all of creation basking in the glory and love and light of their Creator. So put away the Play-Doh for now. Take it home with you and let it continue to speak to you about this image of God's working with you. And let's return again to the window of Scripture as we keep on looking for hope. For the author of Mark's Gospel, hope is found in the promised coming of the Son of Man. The people who had walked and talked with Jesus during his time on earth had expected he would make things right for them. Peace and prosperity, healing and salvation, a righting of wrongs, and a completion of justice. And yet, as Mark wrote, the Romans still ruled and poverty was rampant. The temple that was rebuilt in the centuries after Isaiah once again lay in ruins, and Jesus was nowhere in sight. Followers of Jesus were scratching their heads, wondering what to think, who to believe, how to live with this delay. Listen.
But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn this lesson. As soon as its branches becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you will know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake.
The word of the Lord. So standing at this window looking for hope, all we get is cosmic drama, upheaval of the predictable forces of nature, and then the coming of the Son of Man, with an intervention that gathers his people from the far reaches of earth and heaven, no longer separated, no longer scattered, no longer waiting in desperation, but united by the one who is hope. And so to those who stand at the window on tiptoe, anxiously looking for the one who is coming, Mark offers the lesson of the fig tree and the story about a man who puts his slaves in charge while he goes on a journey and sums it all up with two words of wisdom. Keep awake. Keep awake. One Advent years ago, a global Advent calendar challenge kept me awake. Every day of Advent, I was given a word that had something to do with preparing for the coming of Christ. This word became a daily invitation to my soul. It kept me awake to the presence of Christ in my little world. Each day, I would contemplate this word and take a picture that somehow captured its meaning. I would find a sentence of scripture or write a prayer, and then I would post it all to Facebook and spark conversation with others. I remember how this simple Advent practice helped me prepare for a Christmas that became the fulfillment of the word of Jesus Christ, who became flesh and dwelt with me. And so we have a similar challenge for you this Advent season, Crossroads. This board that will appear on the screens holds random acts of Advent. These windows on the board contain simple suggestions about a practice you could do or an action you could take to express God's love to those around you this Advent season. When you leave worship today or in weeks to come, we want you to pick a card out of one of those envelopes, follow its instructions to share God's love, reflect on what that was like for you, take a picture of what happened, and share it. Or you may visit the table in the narthex that contains Advent calendars and devotional guides, or you could stop by the gracious gifts table, the angel tree, or the mitten tree. In all of these ways, or in ways of your own devising, we encourage you to keep awake with actions and practices that will shape your life and our world through hope. As you ponder how you will practice hope this Advent season, I want you to take in your hands the cloth that you colored earlier. It is soiled with the marks of the crayon that represent the sin Jesus was born to redeem. As you hold your cloth, I want to draw to your attention that there are four mangers in our sanctuary this morning. There is one at the front here. There is one at the back of the center aisle. There is one in between the windows on this side of the sanctuary. There is another in between the windows on the other side of the sanctuary. These mangers at the moment are bare, hard wood, hardly welcoming for the coming of Jesus. In a moment, we're going to place our cloths in these cradles to prepare a place for Jesus to come to us. But first, I want you to think about your intention for this Advent season. What is God's desire for you? What is God's dream for you this Advent season? What do you want to take into this Advent season? What do you think you and others here at Crossroads need to hear in this season? As the music begins in a moment, you are invited to go to one of the cradles, one of the mangers, the one that's closest to you, with your cloth, and to say out loud to someone you meet at the manger, one word that could become an intention or a prayer for God's intervention this Advent season. Say the word and place your cloth in the cradle. If you prefer, you may stay in your pew and express your intention silently to God in prayer. In all of these ways, let us prepare for the coming of hope.